I don't mean to come back to the Fed thing, but do you kind of think he's just like a little whiny?
He just lost to this guy in the round of 64. Like, I'm sure he was pretty emotional.
Well, we've seen him switch paddles. We've seen him.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Anytime he loses, it's somebody else's fault. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
And we're super excited to hang out with you today. As always, we're going to get into some of the latest pickleball news, talk about some things that are developing and some different topics in regards to the pickleball industry as a whole. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Take us away, Danae.
So today, I guess this week, pros are playing the Atlanta Slam. Event, which is a really big event for the PPA Tour, the Professional Pickleball Tour, and Federico Stakstrud, who is rated number one men's singles player in the world, actually lost in the round of 32. Did you see that?
Round 64.
No, shut up. 64. Nice. My bad. I spoke wrong. He lost in the round of 64.
Yeah, super early. The guy was like had a seed in like the 50s or 60s.
So crazy. But immediately after that event, Fed tweeted a tweet that kind of blew up across the pickleball internet. And so what Fed said was, singles pickleball has become mini tennis at this point. There's no point on going to the net of the return. It was fun back in the day to have cat and mouse rallies and hit drops off thirds. I thought it was maybe more interesting to watch. Maybe I'm wrong. Referring to like, it was more fun to watch cat and mouse points than mini tennis points. So I'll leave it there for right now. I have a couple other tweets I want to read, but like, what did you think about that?
Yeah, I think obviously we've talked about this on the podcast. It's been talked about in the pickleball industry, but the game of pickleball is just rapidly evolving in the sense it's getting more powerful. Paddle technology is increasing. The amount of power, the amount of spin, and the amount of just talent that's coming into the game all at the same time. Really, I think what Fed's getting at here is you can hit the ball so hard. You can hit the ball with so much spin, especially if you come from like an elite tennis background and have all of that footwork down and make really solid contact with the ball. He's like, it's just better. It's just easier just to sit back, pass people, mm-hmm. and even if you don't pass people, they're not going to be able to do much with that volley because you're hitting it so hard and you're able to create so many angles. And back in the day, you just couldn't pass people as easily, you know?
And why was that, do you think?
I think just because of the paddles,
yeah,
you know?
Just 1,000%.
Slower. And so you couldn't really pass people. And so if somebody was really hard to pass, another way to beat them is through what we call cat and mouse, which is basically you would drop the ball into the kitchen and kind of come up and play like a mini kitchen game, forcing mm-hmm. your partner to have to, you know, play angles, play really quick. And there's a lot of strategy behind that cat and mouse game. And, you know, it actually plays to the benefit of some of maybe the people with less of the raw tennis talent.
Right. You know, it's interesting. We started seeing Ben Johns lose singles titles in the past year and a half-ish. And it's interesting because Ben's bread and butter was the cat and mouse game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that we've seen in the past couple of years, Ben, who used to be the singles goat, we'll just say, just started losing titles to, you know, these tennis players coming in. And now it's interesting because Fed, his background is tennis, right?
Or am I
crazy? Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that he's even saying, like, dude, this isn't as fun to watch. It's interesting. Zane says it's a problem. in respond to the tweet. He says, it's a problem. In doubles, the problem is power, but in singles, I think the problem is topspin. Topspin effectively widens and lengthens the dimensions of the court, making covering passing much more difficult. Singles was more entertaining to watch three plus years ago.
Well, yeah, think about it. If the ball's dipping over the net and it's being hit at an angle, you have to reach that much further to volley the ball. And if the ball's dipping, it's much harder to put a solid volley on it. And it just creates pop-ups, it creates errors.
Yeah.
And it just, yes, topspin's a huge part of it.
Yeah. Roscoe Bellamy, he responds, he says, I think 2023 singles was the sweet spot in terms of power, spin, and the way the game was played. In my opinion, the equipment is now too fast and the ball can be manipulated too much.
Well, we've talked about this I feel like we're beating a dead horse. You know, we've talked about this so many times, and it's starting to really catch up to people, and people are really starting to notice it. But it just feels like the power spin thing isn't going anywhere.
I know.
Like, they're not going to just randomly. I mean, I know that they maybe are delisting some more paddles, but I don't know. Just with regulations and what's been allowed to this point, like, do you see paddles getting toned down? Like,
I mean, it's so sad.
Ever?
It's so sad because I wish we could tone them down. I think 2023 actually was a great era for pickleball. You could, you know, start to hit more power shots with more spin, but like it wasn't as overwhelming as it is now. That really was like a cool kind of time. Would I like to see us go back a little bit? Yeah. Do I think we will? No.
Yeah, it's tough.
I feel like the scientists, so to say, went too far and we can't like reverse the...
Well, I think it's tough because there is something very fun and addictive about the new technology, like the way that it feels.
Yeah, it's easier to hit certain shots. It used to be really hard to hit a drive that stayed in.
But... Yeah, but it's like now that people have done it, like, are they going to be able to revert? You know, like they've felt what's out there. And I do think that maybe we've kind of hit this peak is what I feel like when in terms of paddles, we kind of hit this power peak. And I know things could be more powerful than they are today, but they can't be that much powerful or the ball literally isn't going to stay in. But I do think that we're kind of the next era of pickleball paddles is going to be really special as kind of my thoughts as I kind of see what's happening in the industry. And I think that we're going to have a nice blend of everything. I really do.
I hope so. I thought this was an interesting comment. This person says, people are not liking the game because it's simply changing. That's just how it goes. Tennis used to be major serve and volley. Now it's not. Basketball used to rarely shoot threes. Now it's all you see. What do you think about that comment?
Like sports evolving over time?
Sports evolving over time and talking directly towards singles feeling like mini tennis now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's even the same in like the NFL and football. Like there was an era where teams just ran the ball to what you did, and then kind of this era where every team is slinging the ball around, passing it 45 times a game, and you know, now it's kind of coming back. So I think there's like ebbs and flows to every sport. I think as you adapt, like it's up to the player and it's up to coaches to continue to adapt and make changes to ultimately to win, because that's why people want to win.
But do you think that, like, this person's basically saying, like, just let it happen, it's going to change? Or do you think more in terms of, like, for example, what they did with golf is when they started out hitting courses, they put more regulations on the equipment because they started out hitting the courses. So, like, there was an ebb and change in the game, but then the actual governing body of the sport was like, no, we can't let that happen. We need to pull back the equipment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different. Like when you think about pickleball, golf, when you think about baseball, there has to be a limit on the technology. Yeah. Like think about baseball. If teams could just easily hit home runs. I mean, you're seeing that a little bit more with these torpedo bats that have just recently come out, but they're
I have no idea what those are. Anyway.
There are ebbs and flows with sports. And this is, I think, like to this guy's point, this does happen across sports. So I do think that there have to be some regulations, but there also has to be the room for new technology and new developments, because that's good for the growth of the sport.
Did people start shooting threes because of better technology, or did they start shooting threes because that was just a different way to play the game?
I think basketball and football isn't a very fair representation, because the ball doesn't change, the basket height doesn't change, the court dimensions obviously don't change. And it's not like, you know, in baseball or golf or something like that, people use different brands of equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, in basketball, you might have different brands of shoes, but it's not going to affect the difference in how you shoot the ball.
Right.
So I think that it's different depending on the sport. But if it's something where you're making contact with a ball, you know, with some sort of equipment, like, yeah, I think that's different than, you know, some of these other sports where, you know, people are using their hands to shoot a ball, catch a ball.
That's,
you know,
yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Different. Like, I feel like that's way different. Like, that is just the strategy is changing. Whereas one, the equipment is changing, which is changing everybody's strategy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like those are two very different scenarios.
Hey, have you heard of the new Play More app?
No. What is it?
Basically, the Play More app is like a stress-free scheduling app for pickleballers. So I don't know, we've struggled a lot in group text trying to organize play. You'll set it up and somebody will just like the text. And I'm like, does that actually mean you're coming or not?
Yeah, and it's like, you never know how many people you have, like what rating they are. It's kind of annoying.
It can kind of just be a nightmare to try to organize groups, because group texts are just not fun. So basically, the Play More app lets you send out invitations. You get an RSVP list. If somebody doesn't show, there's a wait list that will actually like put somebody right into.
No way.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Dang, that's awesome. What's it called?
It's called the Play More app. So you should download it at the App Store, or you can go to getplaymore.com if you want to look at it online. I think you do have to be able to adapt, but equipment is another beast of it too, you know?
Yeah. It makes me think, like, is equipment king at the end of the day with these other sports, you know?
Like with golf or...
With golf or pickleball, for example. Baseball.
What do you mean by equipment being king?
Like, does equipment swing so far into like the performance of a player?
Right. I mean, yeah, I think it can. I think it absolutely can. Like, there's a reason pro baseball players use wooden bats, not metal bats. Mm-hmm. In college, they use, you know, aluminum bats. And at the pros, you're using a wooden bat. And there's a reason for that, you know, where there have to be limitations. And that's something that I even think about. If you think about that analogy, like, I wonder what it would be like if at the pro level, equipment was toned down, not necessarily across the board, but kind of reverse engineering it to where, like,
maybe it could only be so powerful, or like
there's, yeah, maybe even like there's more regulations. I know even Zane's also brought up, like, would there ever be modifications made to the ball? Because that is one way you could slow it down, is by adding more holes to the ball. The ball would move a little bit slower, a little more air would be traveling through it. That's an interesting thought.
But even then, your equipment is so different across different brands. You know, like, it still doesn't create a similar feel. I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting to think about.
Yeah, it is. Guys, let us know, though, in the comments of however you're watching this this podcast. Like, what do you think the issue is? Or what do you think, you know, the solution is here?
And do you even think this is an issue? Because I'm sure there's some people out there that are probably like, I love mini tennis feel, you know?
Yeah. Something that's also been brought up a little bit that I saw in regards to this post that you just read is that it's been tossed around this idea of shrinking the size of the singles court a little bit. Have you heard this?
No.
Basically, the idea is that you would bring it in a little bit. It wouldn't be quite as wide. Okay. I mean, if you think about singles and doubles tennis, there are different outlines. Like, the court, the court's wider.
Yeah.
So if you, if the court wasn't the same length, like as if you brought in, if there were singles lines, then you wouldn't be able to pass as much because you wouldn't be able to hit as big of angles. Mm-hmm. So it would naturally maybe create a little more cat and mouse.
Okay.
The other idea would be, you know, I've also seen what would it look like in pickleball to slightly widen the net a little bit to where you couldn't go around the post quite as easily.
But in singles, like, I feel like that's going to affect not that huge of a percentage of points.
I mean, the if you watch singles, there is a lot of
yeah, but
stuff,
like, how many ATPs
game
are you winning on a single? Like 1 point a match?
I don't know. Yeah, it could affect doubles a little bit more. But
I think doubles more.
But I think it's the idea is, though, like, what does it look like to switch court dimensions a little bit for doubles slash singles with the court being wider or the net being wider? I wonder if they would ever make an improvement like that, because it does. It comes back to this thing is like they've tried to change the serve rules. They've tried to, you know, do all of these different things, but it feels like they're not going to touch the equipment.
Well,
like,
I was going to say, like, it's interesting because if you think if they have to change the court dimensions, every public park is screwed. Every facility is screwed. Like, that's just, it's almost like a too big of a headache. Whereas you'd think, like, it'd just be easier to change the ball or paddle.
They could, I mean, but here's the thing. I think also singles is not played as widely public in courts. So, I mean, you could obviously just change it at the pro level, like throw some lines down at the pro level. I don't think you would have to necessarily and see if it sticks. I don't think you'd actually have to implement it across nationwide courts right off the bat. It might just be a pro thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Interesting to think about.
Yeah. I would be very interested just because, you know, obviously it is like that. They did that in tennis. So, all right, let's move on to the next one. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Guys, again, let us know in the comments, about this topic. I think it's really interesting. We've talked about it. The game is evolving.
Yeah. We've talked about the paddles for so much, but it's true. It's affecting the game on a large scale.
Okay. I briefly wanted to touch on this next, post. I saw this on the kitchen, Facebook page. And basically it talks about, you know, with it, it says in light of, you know, the recent, Ben and Colin John's developments, which I think we talked about in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. If you haven't already listened to that one, go listen to it. But, you know, Ben and Colin, in the last MLP, they withdrew due to what they called inadequate lighting. And, you know, we are seeing an increase in eye protection. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of these like white frameless like glasses.
Yeah.
So basically, on this post, they're asking who in pickleball wears eye protection, and do you think it will ever become mandatory for tournament play? And the comments were pretty mixed. There was a lot of people in the comments like sending photos of themselves with like black eyes where they've gotten like hit by a pickleball. But you've gotten hit like in the eye before?
My face is a magnet for a pickleball. You hit me in the head the other week.
Yeah.
Last week you hit me in the eye. Not on purpose.
Not in the eye. It wasn't the eye.
It was right here.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't talk to you for like 5 minutes.
You did. You got super quiet. What's crazy is I think the ball was gonna land in.
No freaking way.
It was on a downward trajectory. No, I was hitting. I hit down on that ball.
We could fight about this right now. It's not worth it.
I hit down on that ball.
Right into my eye.
It was coming like
no,
this.
No, it wasn't.
It would have been close.
Anyway. So it's funny that you bring this up regardless, because we're seeing more and more pros start to wear eye protection. Like when we first started playing, I feel like we always bring this up, it was 2019. We're like dinosaurs in the sport compared to a lot of people, but you don't really see many people wear eye protection. But it probably was around, 2023, 2024, and now obviously, this year I'm seeing more and more pros start to wear eye protection. Because of power paddles.
Yeah, it comes down to they're doing everything, you know, we've talked about the game being faster, but they're doing everything. They're complaining about it, which also brings back the first point. Like, I don't mean to come back to the Fed thing, but do you kind of think he's just like a little whiny?
Well, you know, I don't know. Here's the thing. He just lost to this guy in the round of 64. Like, I'm sure he was pretty
Well, we've seen emotional. Him switch paddles. We've seen him.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Anytime he loses, it's someone, it's somebody else's fault, you know? I wish he would come out after like a singles match and just be like.
To his credit, he tweeted right after that tweet and said, Chris or whoever the guy that beat him, he was like, Chris played really well. He deserved to win. Like,
okay, good. Good. I didn't see that.
Okay. Like, to his credit.
I love that for Fed. I love that. Fed needs some of that in his life.
I know. I actually thought that was like classy of him to say that. But where was I going with this?
We were talking about eye protection and then I got way off.
Yeah. We're seeing more and more eye protection because of the paddles. And yeah, I'm seeing more and more pros specifically choose to wear eye protection, which I think is genius. Like, because think about it. That's your livelihood. If you get hit in the eye, you're done.
What? Well, tell me, you told me one time, I don't see you wear it much, but you told me one time you feel like you played more confident.
I play more confident. I do.
We need to get you some eye protection.
I was going to say, this is my issue though. So, and this is the issue across the board, I think, for a lot of pros, is they feel like when they wear eye protection, they can't see as easily or see as like crispy, I'll call it. Which I agree with.
Is that why you're seeing like these, I think they're like frameless glasses.
Yes. Yes. So now I feel like frameless glasses are starting to come into the sport because it doesn't like put a tint on how you see, but you still have the protection of the frames if the ball hits you in the eye. So honestly, I should try that because I really do feel like personally I play way more confident if I have eye protection on. In the summers, a lot of times I'll wear sunglasses when I play. But like indoors and stuff like that, like, or if it's nighttime, I obviously don't wear anything, but I want to get back into it because like I said, I've gotten hit in the eye so many times. It's pretty scary. So I really need to.
Is it me or do these frameless glasses kind of look a little weird?
They look weird. They give me like, you know, the paper, 3D glasses.
The what?
The paper 3D glasses that you get at the movie theater or whatever. They give me like that kind of
That's
vibe.
True. Like they feel a little like.
They're weird.
Bulky, but I think it's because they go down on the cheekbone a little bit.
You need the frame on the bottom.
Because they're trying to protect the what's this bone called?
They're not trying to protect the bone. They just don't.
As well.
If you don't have this here, then the ball will hit you. Then you need this frame here.
Yeah. Anyways, they're kind of curved and they just go like down a little bit, like low. They're kind of interesting looking. I haven't tried any on, obviously.
You want to try some?
We'll get you some. guys, but let us know in the comments, do you wear eye protection? I'm curious how many of you.
And if you got hit in the eye, I'm curious if it's as common as I think it is.
So here's the thing. I really haven't had I've gotten hit in the face. I've had some close calls. I really haven't had a bad eye experience. So maybe that would change me, but I feel like I just wouldn't want to wear glasses. And that's what I think is an interesting thing is like people in the comments are like, it should be mandatory.
And all the people that have gotten hit in the eye, I think it should be mandatory.
But I feel like I just wouldn't want to wear them. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want them on my face. Like that kind of bothered me. Maybe you're like me. Let me know in the comments. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it will ever be mandatory, but I guess we'll see.
I think it's a good idea, regardless.
I feel like it's that thing where, like, if you ever go, like, rent bikes, like, wearing a helmet's mandatory, but, like, I never wear a helmet.
Don't take your safety advice from him. That's all I'm saying. Just wear the glasses, wear the helmet.
The last bikes we rented, I took my helmet and I put it in my car. And then on our way back, I stopped by the car and grabbed it.
Listen to this advice, you guys. Wear your helmet, wear your glasses.
Okay.
Let's wrap it
up. I think that's all we got. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode of the Pickleball Connection podcast. We appreciate your...
What?
Guys, I just absolutely butchered that outro. Let's try it again. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us on today's episode of the Pickleball Connection podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and follow, and we will see you on the next one.